Krishna Book, Canto 21, Odds and Ends, Chapter 88, Scene 1, The Difference Between Shivaites and Krishnaites. As a great devotee of Lord Krishna, King Parikshit was already liberated, but for clarification, he was asking various questions of Shukadeva Goswami. In the previous chapter, King Parikshit's question was, what is the ultimate goal of the Vedas? And Shukadeva Goswami explained the matter, giving authoritative descriptions from the disciplic succession, beginning with Kumar Sanandana, down to Narayana Rishi, Narada, Vyasadev, and then Shukadev himself. And the conclusion was that devotional service or bhakti is the ultimate goal of the Vedas. A neophyte devotee may question, if the ultimate goal of life or the conclusion of the Vedas is to elevate oneself to the platform of devotional service, then why is it observed that a devotee of Lord Vishnu is generally not very prosperous materially, whereas a devotee of Lord Shiva is found to be very opulent? In order to clarify this matter, Parikshit Maharaj asked Shukadeva Goswami, my dear spiritual master, it is generally found that those who engage in the worship of Lord Shiva, whether in human, demoniac, or even demigod society, become very opulent materially, although Lord Shiva himself lives just like a poverty-stricken person. While on the other hand, the devotees of Lord Vishnu, who is the controller of the goddess of fortune, do not appear to be very prosperous, and sometimes they are even found to be living without any material opulence at all. Lord Shiva lives underneath a tree or in the snow of the Himalayan mountains. Lord Shiva does not even construct a house for himself. But still, the worshippers of Lord Shiva are very rich. Krishna, or Lord Vishnu, however, himself lives very opulently, whether in Vaikuntha or in this material world, but his devotees appear to be poverty-stricken. Why is this so? Maharaj Parikshit's question is very intelligent. The two classes of devotees, namely the devotees of Lord Shiva and the devotees of Lord Vishnu, are always in disagreement. Even today in India, these two classes of devotees still criticize each other, and especially in South India, the followers of Ramanuja Acharya and the followers of Shankara Acharya hold occasional meetings for understanding the Vedic conclusion. Generally, the followers of Ramanuja Acharya come out victorious in such meetings. So, Parikshit Maharaj wanted to clarify the situation by asking this question of Shukadeva Goswami, that Lord Shiva lives as a poor man, although his devotees appear to be very opulent, whereas Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu is always opulent, and yet their devotees appear to be poverty-stricken, is a situation which appears contradictory and puzzling to the discriminating person. Shukadeva Goswami began to reply to King Parikshit's inquiry about the apparent contradictions regarding the worship of Lord Shiva and that of Lord Vishnu. Lord Shiva is the master of the material energy. The material energy is represented by Goddess Durga, and Lord Shiva happens to be her husband. Since Goddess Durga is completely under the subjugation of Lord Shiva, it is to be understood that Lord Shiva is the master of this material energy. The material energy is manifested in three qualities: goodness, passion, and ignorance. And therefore, Lord Shiva is the master of these three qualities. Although Lord Shiva is in association with these qualities for the benefit of the conditioned soul, Lord Shiva is the director and is not affected. Although the conditioned soul is affected by the three qualities, Lord Shiva, because he is the master of these qualities, is not affected by them. From the statements of Shukadeva Goswami, we can understand that the effects of worshipping different demigods are not, as some less intelligent persons suppose, the same as the effects of worshipping Lord Vishnu. Shukadeva clearly states that by worshipping Lord Shiva, one achieves one reward, whereas by worshipping Lord Vishnu, one achieves a different reward. And this is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Those who worship the different demigods achieve the desired results which the respective demigods can reward. And similarly, those who worship the material energy receive the suitable reward for such activities. And those who worship the pittas receive similar results. But those who are engaged in devotional service or the worship of the Supreme Lord, either Vishnu or Krishna, go to the Vaikuntha planets or Krishna Loka. But one cannot approach the transcendental region or Paravyoma, the spiritual sky, by worshipping Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma or any other demigod. Since this material world is a product of the three qualities of material nature, all varieties of manifestations also come from those three qualities. With the aid of materialistic science, modern civilization has created many machines and comforts of life, and yet they are only varieties of the interactions of the three material qualities. Although the devotees of Lord Shiva are able to obtain many material acquisitions, we should know that they are simply collecting products manufactured by the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance. These three qualities are again subdivided into 16, namely the 10 senses, comprised of 5 working senses and 5 knowledge acquiring senses, the mind, and the 5 elements, earth, water, air, fire, and sky. The 16 items are further extensions of the 3 material qualities. Material happiness or material opulence means gratification of the senses, specifically the genitals, the tongue, and the mind. By exercising our minds, we create many pleasurable things just for enjoyment by the genitals and the tongue. The opulence of a person within this material world is estimated in terms of one's exercise of the genitals and the tongue. Or in other words, how well one is able to utilize the sexual capacities and how well one is able to satisfy the fastidious taste by eating palatable dishes. Material advancement of civilization necessitates creating objects of enjoyment by mental concoction just to become happy on the basis of these two principles: pleasures for the genitals and pleasures for the tongue. So herein lies the answer to King Parikshit's question to Shukadeva Goswami as to why the worshippers of Lord Shiva are so opulent. The devotees of Lord Shiva are only opulent in terms of the material qualities. But factually, such so-called advancement of civilization is the cause of entanglement in material existence. And so it is actually not advancement, but degradation. The conclusion is that because Lord Shiva is the master of the three qualities, his devotees are given things manufactured by the interactions of these qualities for satisfaction of the senses. In Bhagavad Gita, however, we get instruction from Lord Krishna that one has to transcend the qualitative material existence. Nistrigunyo Bhavarjuna. The mission of human life is to become transcendental to the three material qualities. Unless one is Nistrigunya, one cannot get free from material entanglement. In other words, favors received from Lord Shiva are not actually beneficial to the conditioned souls, although apparently such facilities seem to be opulent. Shukadeva Goswami then said, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is transcendental to the three qualities of material nature." It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that anyone who surrenders unto Krishna surpasses the control of the three qualities of material nature. Therefore, since Lord Hari's devotees are transcendental to the control of the three material qualities, then certainly Krishna himself is transcendental. It is stated, therefore, in Srimad Bhagavatam that Hari, or Krishna, is the original Supreme Personality. There are two kinds of prakritis or potencies, namely the internal potency and the external potency. And Lord Krishna is the overlord of both these prakritis or potencies. Krishna is sarvadrik, or the overseer of all the actions of the internal and external potencies. And Krishna is also described as Upadrashta, the Supreme Advisor. Because Krishna is the Supreme Advisor, Krishna is above all the demigods who merely follow the directions of the Supreme Advisor. As such, if one directly follows the instructions of the Supreme Lord, as inculcated in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, then gradually one becomes nirguna, or above the interaction of the material qualities. To be nirguna means to be bereft of material opulences. Because, as we have explained, material opulence means an increase of the actions and reactions of the three material qualities. By worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, instead of being puffed up with material opulence, one becomes enriched with spiritual advancement of knowledge in Krishna consciousness. To become nirguna means to achieve eternal peace, fearlessness, religiousness, knowledge, and renunciation. All these are symptoms of becoming free from the contamination of the material qualities. Thus ends Chapter 88, Scene 1, The Difference Between the Shivites and the Krishnaites. All glories to Krishna Book, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. The following are notes on this section. False ego transforms into the mind, the 10 senses, and the 5 physical elements. Lord Shiva appears in a special linga form in each of these 16 substances, which are worshipped individually as deities in various sacred locations throughout the universe. A devotee of Lord Shiva may worship one of his particular lingas in order to obtain the mystic opulences pertaining to it. Thus, Lord Shiva's Akasha Linga bestows the opulences of ether his Jyotirlinga bestows the opulences of fire and so on. Srila Sridhar Swami cites the following passage from the Vedic literature, Vastuno Guna Sambandhe Rupa Dvayam Iheshyate Tad Dharma Yoga Yogavyam Bimbavat Prati Bimbavat. When the absolute reality associates with the modes of nature, he assumes two different kinds of form in this world, according to whether his spiritual qualities are manifest or not. Thus, he acts just like a reflection and its further secondary reflection. Guna satvadaya shanta ghora mudha swabhavataha Vishnu Brahma Shivanancha Guna Yantri Swarupinam. The modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, whose respective individual natures are peaceful, violent, and foolish, are personally regulated by Lord Vishnu in the mode of goodness, Lord Brahma through the mode of passion, and Lord Shiva through the mode of ignorance. Nati bhedo bhaved bhedo guna dharmaya ihangshataha satvasya shantya no jatu vishnur vikshepa mudhate. Lord Vishnu's peaceful mode of goodness does not differ substantially from his original spiritual qualities, although it is only a partial manifestation of them within this world. Thus, Lord Vishnu's mode of goodness is never tainted by agitation in the mode of passion or delusion in the mode of ignorance. Rajas tamo gunavyang tu bhavetang brahma rudrayo guno pamardato bhuyas tad angshanangcha bhinnata. By the modes of passion and ignorance, on the other hand, the original spiritual qualities of Lord Brahma and Lord Rudra are obscured. Thus, the spiritual qualities appear only partially as separated material qualities. Atah samagra sattvasya vishnor moksha kari mati angshato bhuti hetuscha tathananda mayi svataha. Therefore, focusing one's consciousness upon Lord Vishnu, who is the embodiment of all goodness, leads one to liberation. Such God consciousness also generates material success as a byproduct, but its proper nature is pure spiritual ecstasy. Angshatas taratam yena brahma rudradi sevinam vibhutayo bhavant yeva shanaira moksha api anangshataha. According to their mode of worship, devotees of Lord Brahma, Lord Rudra, and the other demigods obtain the limited success of material opulences, and eventually they may possibly become qualified for full liberation. This same idea is echoed in the following statement of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shrayansi Tatra Khalu Sattva Tanor Nirnam Syu. Of these three, Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva, all human beings can derive ultimate benefit from Lord Vishnu, who is the form of the quality of goodness.